Then he says, let me explain this a little more. What is the relationship between me and this world? And so that he will say in verse number 10. Mayadhyakshena prakritihi.
Mayadhyakshena prakritihi.
Suyate sacharacharam.
Suyate sacharacharam.
Hetu nanena kaunteya. Jagat viparivartate.
Jagat viparivartate.
Together. Mayadhyakshena prakritihi. Suyate sacharacharam. Hetu nanena kaunteya. Jagat viparivartate. So maya adhyaksha, adhyaksha means president or the supervisor. So maya adhyakshena, so I am the president, I am presiding over it, I am the supervisor, and in my supervision, prakriti is the creative power, which we have talked about before also. Prakriti is the creative power which sustains, and the Lord working through Prakriti becomes Ishvara, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. So he says, Prakriti in my presence, in my presidentship, Suyate Sacharacharam. Suyate means creates. Suyate, actually, those of you who know the original Punjabi, it is used in Punjabi, they say, Gaan Sundi Paiye. You know, the cow is giving birth. So that shows that all our languages have their basis in Sanskrit. So he says, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, in my presence, Prakriti, the creative power of the Lord, Suyate creates what? Sir, what is that? Chara and Achara. Chara means moving and Achara means non-moving. Chara means alive, Achara means not alive. So this entire beings, which are living and non-living, moving and non-moving, are all created by Prakriti, but I am the one that gives power to it. I am the one that energizes the Prakriti. In my presence, all this whole world is created. And Hetu na anena, by this cause, this is the cause, O Arjuna, O Kaunteya, Jagat viparivartate. Jagat, this world, viparivartate means revolves. The whole world rotates. That means moves. So it says, it is my power. When I transmit that power to Prakriti, then all the creative activities happen and the world revolves. As we know, the whole universe revolves. The earth revolves around the sun. The moon revolves around the earth. The entire universe is revolving on its own axis. You know, all the cosmos, everything is moving. So he says, it is me, my power. So as we can see, the president himself or herself, we may have a woman, a lot of countries have had women leaders. The president himself does not do anything. The president gives instructions, and then he has a cabinet, then he has secretaries, he has different, Secretary of State, Secretary of this and that. So then they carry out instructions, or they have a cabinet meeting and the decision is made. But the president is the one that gets elected. You know, we are now in an election campaign. And at the end of, campaign in January, when the president is inaugurated for 4 years, then the president's decisions are final. You know, the two cabinet members may disagree, but ultimately it is the president. But the president himself doesn't do anything. Gurudev gives an example in his commentary. He says, like the king, he says, a month from now, I want to visit this pilgrimage spot on full moon day. So he tells the prime minister, and then he forgets about it. Then he doesn't then look into the details. Just go ahead. A month later, when the prime minister reminds the king, sir, tomorrow you have to go to that pilgrimage spot. You remember you had said a month ago. The king says, yes, come on, is everything arranged? Prime minister says, yeah, I guess. So next morning, the king gets in his chariot and he's riding, the horses are pulling it. And he sighs on both sides, you know, all the beautiful decorations and the arches have been made and banners have been placed and the dividers and all the subjects, all the men and women are around to see the king and they are clapping. And the path has been, you know, nicely put with the carpet and all. And so he said, how did this all happen? Prime Minister said, sir, you said you wanted to visit. I arranged everything. Now, if the Prime Minister had gone as an ordinary person and said, come on, all of you come. And no, nobody would have listened. But because he had power from the king and the king gave him the authority to organize, so he went and said, you know, look, the king wants to come next month. I want this, I want that, I want... So the authority came from the king, but the Prime Minister carried it out. So similarly, Prakriti gets its authority from the Lord, but then she does everything, whatever is happening in this world. So the illumination, when they talk about illumination, this consciousness is said to be has chit or knowledge. So what it means is that there is illumination outside the sun, the moon, the light, but there is also illumination inside, which is my power to know, power to hear, power to see, power to talk, power to listen. So we pay attention to what I can see, hear, smell, taste, touch, walk, talk, but we forget that there is God within us because of whose power I am doing whatever I am doing. I am speaking right now because God has given me this ability to speak and Puja Gurudev has given us this knowledge. All of you are listening because God is in you listening. So whatever I am speaking, whatever I am listening, we always have to pay attention that God is within us. God is with me at all times and it is because of Him that I am able to do. If God was not there, if God was not reflecting, and what they say is that the mind and intellect is the subtle body, and in the mind and intellect, the consciousness reflects. And because of that reflection of consciousness in the mind and intellect, the body is able to function. And there's a very beautiful story in Mahabharata how God apparently is disinterested, but at the same time, when it's required, comes to our help. So as we know, Arjuna had asked Shri Krishna to be his charioteer and Shri Krishna was his chauffeur, was doing a beautiful job driving the horses. Not only that, at night Arjuna would go to sleep, but Shri Krishna would go and make sure he washed the chariot, cleaned the horses, massaged their feet like any other charioteer. He didn't say, oh, I'm the king of Mathura, let my servants do it. He said, I'm charioteer, I'll do that, whatever job, and he would sleep with the charioteers. He didn't say, I have to sleep in a palace. So with that attitude, he worked. And so at one time, what happened was, Karna was, even though Arjuna's oldest brother, but there's a long story behind it, Karna was fighting on the Kaurava side. And Karna was as great a warrior than Arjuna, probably better. And he had said that when Arjuna and I meet, only one will be alive. Both of us won't be alive. That's how powerful they both were. And so one time they were fighting and the war was going on and Karna, even though he was brave, but he was on the wrong side. He was fighting on the side of evil and Shri Krishna was on the side of good. And so the battle is going on for several hours and Karna is a better warrior and Arjuna is losing. And Shri Krishna sees that. He doesn't do anything. He says, let Arjuna handle his own situation, and he keeps on fighting, and finally he's getting tired, he's losing, and Karna releases his special astra, which was a very powerful astra, and he chants mantra, and this, if it had hit Arjuna, Arjuna's head would have been blown to pieces, and he aims it at Arjuna's head, and Krishna sees it's coming, and he knows that this will be the end of Arjuna, so he just raises his hand, and the earth sinks 6 inches. Below his chariot, and the chariot goes into the ground 6 inches, and that weapon goes harmlessly above his head. And somebody says, how could he do that? How can he raise his hand? And the one who can move all the planets and move all the comets and grow everything and whatever is happening, why can't he just, you know, move the chariot or move the earth 6 inches? So the point is that when we surrender to God, that's what Arjuna said, Shishyasteham Shadi Mam Tvam Prapanna. I am prostrated to you, you take care of me, you be my charioteer. So when he surrendered, then God says, now I am responsible. He will say, later on in the ninth chapter, he will say, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, I am the one who takes care of everybody. So we can see that when the need is there, God will be with us. Only thing is we have to surrender and say, God, you are working through me. Continue to work, but without the arrogance, without the ego. And it is important to know, like when we go to somebody's house or there is a potluck and everybody makes a dish and one dish tastes very good. They say, who made this? Who made this? And so somebody says, oh, she made it, so and so made. So we say, oh, this was very good. But similarly, when we see this whole universe, we don't ask who made this universe, how is this everything functioning so beautifully, how this Halley's Comet, which goes for trillions of miles and every 76 years comes back to the same spot on Earth, how does it know 76 years later the comet? So all that is one God's presence. And that is what they say, that when you see anything beautiful, when you see anything brilliant, you see a person who is very intelligent, who is a beautiful artist, who has painted a painting or singing a beautiful song or a poetry, remember God. When you see a scientist who comes up with a new invention, a new discovery, see God everywhere. Even when somebody is scolding me or somebody is correcting me, think that God is in this person's and has come to correct me, to scold me, and maybe there is something in me that I need to improve. So when you see that, then there will be no anger, then there won't be any arrogance, then there won't be anything. You say God is doing everything. And they say God is the entire cause of the universe. He's the material cause, the instrumental cause, and the efficient cause. That these are the terms that are used. So the example they give is the pot maker. Now the pot maker makes the pot. So he becomes the efficient cause because he has the knowledge. The mud becomes the instrument, becomes the material cause. From the material mud, the pot maker makes the pot. And what is the instrument? Instrument is the wheel on which he will rotate the mud and make a pot, and then he will paint it. But in God's case, he is the efficient cause. He is the material cause. He himself has become this universe, and he is the instrumental cause. So all three are him, and God alone is there as all three. God is the maker of this universe. God himself entered this universe and became all of us. All of us are that God's manifestation. And also the plants, animals, birds, fish. So that helps us to see the oneness, that there is one consciousness, one God in everybody. So he becomes the instrumental cause also, because it is he alone using this equipment of Prakriti, using all this, that this whole universe is created. But then does that mean that God gets transformed? You know, just as mud gets transformed to make a pot, or gold gets transformed to make ornaments. You know, we give all these examples. So they say, no, God does not get transformed. In God, all these changes are happening. And the example is the wash ocean water. In the water, the waves are arising. Who is the sustainer of the waves? The water. Who is the creator? Water. Who is the ultimately, where do the wave go back? Into water. But does water get affected? No, water does not transform. In water, all these waves are arising. So similarly, you and I are waves in that one God, in that one consciousness. But that consciousness does not get transformed. When I'm born, consciousness is not born. When I die, consciousness does not die. It is the change which is happening on that substratum of water, on the substratum of consciousness. This whole universe is functioning. So that is what the essence of this verse is, that I, in my power, in my presence, this whole universe of living and non-living beings are created. And that is how the world rotates, and everything is happening is because of my power. The leaves are growing and they have chlorophyll, and all day they are removing carbon dioxide, taking oxygen. That's why trees should be worshipped, because trees are little yogis. No, they are not little, big yogis who are standing there and serving us constantly from morning to night. That's why when I go for a walk, I bow down to the leaves, to the trees, because it's because of them that we are alive. Otherwise, this whole world would be filled with carbon dioxide the way we are polluting. That's why, you know, growing trees and you know, preserving the environment is so important. So that is all me, Bhagwan says. But then still people don't recognize God. They say, I am the one who did it. Or they say, you know, God, Krishna, he was just an ordinary human being. Theek hai, he came and, you know, everybody's praying to him as God. I don't think he was God. And he was just son of Devaki and Vasudev. He came, he did something, so what? Why do we worship him? Or they don't even acknowledge the presence of God, that there is anything called God. You know, I'm the one doing everything. And science is all powerful, so they don't recognize. So Bhagwan has a special name for people like that. And he calls us Mudaha. Mudaha means deluded fools. So people who think like that are Mudaha.